Call the June 19th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm is excused. Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Fogel, young Mr. Fogel, Tobin, please come forward and help us with the pledge. You got to be in front. There you go.
You're good. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wait, before you sit down. No, him. You guys. Tell us what troop you're from.
Troop 1.
And where is it?
Oak Creek.
You can go sit down now. Tobin, you're working on a badge?
Yeah.
Which one? Good for you. Okay. We have a quorum. We'll move on to item B, citizens' commentary. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address. Speak your piece. I will remind you it's 3 minutes. I'm going to hold people to that. Ms. Mills? 3 minutes.
I know. Judy Mills, 8018 Winston Way, Franklin, Wisconsin. I went to the Planning Commission meeting the last time they met, and there were a lot of reports and discussions on the ballpark commons. There were two men representing the senior housing or memory unit that is planned for the Rock, and they gave a lot of information about it. When they got done, they mentioned that they had done no studies or had no data to substantiate anything that they had just told the Planning Commission. And not one member of the Planning Commission blinked an eye. They asked him some questions, but you have these two men that are representing a concept that's going to go into this ballpark commons thing, and they have done no research on whether this is a good idea to put a lot of seniors in this very congested, loud, lit area. And they basically said they just think this is good, but they had no data to support this. They just think it. And I think that's something you need to consider. The other thing is that when Mr. Zimmerman came up to the table to tell you what he was going to do, he mentioned during the course of what he was talking about that he had done no studies either on anything, that he doesn't like to do them because they cost too much money. No one in the Planning Commission blinked an eye, and there were three aldermen there at this time. And I thought, you have $37 million of taxpayer money going into this, and you've got a guy who's telling you he hasn't done a single study on anything. He's just kind of flying by the seat of his pants. And somebody asked him a question about this big indoor golfing and whatnot thing that's going up, and how he decided on this, what research he had done on this to determine this was right for Franklin and et cetera. And he said, well, the only thing he did was drive down to Naperville and they had one, so he decided it would be good for Franklin. That was his research. I can drive down to Naperville and look at something and say, well, okay. So, again, you know, all this tax money going to something that there was no real data or research done on, other than he saw one down in Naperville. And I think these are things that you really need to think about before you vote on this. And yet you have taxpayers come here, citizens.
Ms. Mills, it's been 3 minutes, so please wrap it up.
I will. And These are people that do a great deal of research. They come with documentation that's well thought out. They have all this data, and these are people who are engineers, lawyers, consultants, educators. They give you volumes of information that they have done research on, and you just blow them off. And yet Zimmerman and two guys can say, well, I think this is a good idea. And you say, okay, it sounds good to us. But when taxpayers come to you with data, I mean data, and give you volumes of it, you sit here like, you know, stone statues. You listen, maybe, I don't know, and then go ahead and vote for whatever Zimmerman wants. And you never respond to anything, any of the data that these people have brought. I've never heard you respond to any of it.
Thank you.
That's all.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Zingales, 3 minutes, you know that.
Yes, thank you. Joy Dragina Zingales, 7573 Highview Drive, Greendale. Referencing to the last meeting as well, one of the largest discussions that night was on decibels and what's acceptable and unacceptable. I have contacted many of the supervisors in the county trying to figure out where that was written, the 79 decibels, as acceptable. Those that have gotten back to me said they do not believe it was written. They're not understanding that it's been written anywhere. It was something that was tossed around. For something that's tossed around, I don't think it's something that should go into the books. And that's kind of what was happening at the last meeting, that, well, if it's good for the county, it's good for us. Maybe I'll get some documentation soon. I'm not sure. But I do have a report here from Columbia University, very specific on environmental studies for noise pollution. There are just a few things I want to point out in here, which I found was very interesting. It says a 10 decibel increase is perceived as roughly a doubling of loudness. Therefore, an example is 80 decibels is 1 million times more intense than 20 decibels and sounds 64 times as loud. Subjected to 45 decibels of noise, the average person cannot sleep. That's 45 decibels, not 79. And this is in their encyclopedia, so it's published. Hearing damage begins at a much lower level. The duration of exposure is also important. There is evidence that among young Americans, hearing sensitivity is decreasing year by year because of exposure to noise. We spoke extensively about our children. Apart from hearing loss, such noise can cause a lack of sleep, irritability, heartburn, indigestion, ulcers, high blood pressure, and possibly heart disease. One burst of noise, as from an example of a passing truck, is known to alter endocrine, neurological, and cardiovascular functions in many individuals. Prolonged or frequent exposure to such noise tends to make the physiological disturbances chronic. In addition, noise-induced stress creates severe tension in daily living and contributes to mental illness. I want you to think about what this study is saying as you're coming to the table and voting tonight. I don't know if any of you have furthered your research on noise and how it affects humans, children, families, neighborhoods. I also sent some of you something from Milwaukee County on their noise facts. Everybody was talking about, well, let's follow Milwaukee. If you look at the facts, which I do have here, if any of you would like to look at, I would love to follow how Milwaukee takes care of their noise issues. Because in Milwaukee, 79 decibels is not acceptable on any level. It's considered a nuisance. And if the police can hear noise from wherever it's coming from, 50 feet away, you're done. You are issued a citation. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Data.
Anyone else? Mr. Dorson. I'm going to tell you 3 minutes, too.
I think I remember that, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I'm here to speak tonight. Don Dorson, 8593 Lake Point Drive. I'm the treasurer of the Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy and here to speak on item G8, which is the second amendment to the Declaration and Restrictions Amendment for the Prairie Grass Preserve Subdivision. I have a couple of concerns, or the Land Conservancy has a couple of concerns. First and foremost, the only binding document on all four parties that signed this agreement is the Declaration and Deed Restriction Covenants Agreement and Protective Covenants, which was filed in January 29th of 2005, this document here. And the proposed changes that they're making conflict with the legally agreed upon contract that we, the city, and Prairie Grass Preserve has. The document that they're amending is their subdivision restriction documents, which is binding on the members of the subdivision, not binding on anybody outside of the subdivision. And the concern is that they are creating two conflicting documents, which have opposite means or ends, that could cause confusion in the future. So there are three areas that are of main concern to the Mohawk Area Land Conservancy, which affect us. First one being that they're changing the word assessment to contribution. Throughout the document, in numerous places, they changed the word assessment to contribution. The Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision pays $25 per lot annually to the Mohawk Area Land Conservancy in this assessment. By changing it to contribution, it at least implies that it's voluntary, if not have a legal meaning of being voluntary and not a mandatory contribution. As you know, the Mohawk Area Land Conservancy maintains Carity Prairie, which is next to the Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision. We have spent way more than the $1,625 that they pay us every year in maintenance on that property for the public good, including the people of Franklin. But we still rely on that money as an annual income for us to maintain that. So anything that would jeopardize the assessment is of concern to us. The other area that is concerning to us is that they're changing it from a assessment on each lot of $25 per lot to a lump sum payment of $1,625. The math works out the same. So on one hand, we wonder, why are you making the change if the math works out the same, unless at some point in the future the subdivision has an expansion or they divide some of their duplex lots into single-family lots and the number of lots could grow and then the assessment amount would change. Right now, it's not clear why they're making the change, but looking down the road, it could cause some confusion. And lastly, they're changing the requirements where on December 31st, they're required to pay us this assessment. Doesn't require an invoice, never has required an invoice. For the past, since I've been treasurer, we've sent them an invoice, but prior to that, we had not. They didn't pay us regularly, and we forgave several years of assessments because we wanted to be good neighbors. We started sending invoices as a courtesy to them, but we want to keep the burden on them to pay that because once I'm not treasurer anymore, a new treasurer could come along, forget to send them an invoice, and then they wouldn't have to pay it. So the changes are of concern, not only for form, but also because they are on the wrong form. So we'd like you to consider that when you look at this tonight. Thank you.
Anyone else? The other half of the discussion. Mr. Milinovich.
Doug Milinovich, 9572 West Prairie Grass Way, also president of the Homeowners Association of Prairie Grass. To Mr. Dorson's concerns, I would like to point out to the council that he mentioned that he wanted to be a good neighbor. However, I assure you that when he got a hold of these changes, he never even contacted us to discuss them or to say, hey, I have this concern. What can we do to work through this? Okay, so the mouth can say we want to be a good neighbor, but to be a good neighbor, you go and you say, hey, what can I do? As far as contribution versus assessment, first off, it was our attorney, Prairie Grass's attorney, who suggested changing that word. That is because of the way MULC is structured, okay? MULC is a nonprofit. They're not structured. They do not have jurisdiction to assess us, okay? So that's why we change it to contribution. As far as the math working out correctly, in fact, it does. And the reason that we changed it, and again, had Mr. Dorson contacted me, I would have been able to tell him this personally, but he decided to run to the council instead. The reason we changed it was there was too much bickering between the duplexes of, well, my fees are this, no, your fees are this, this is my half of 25, this is your half of 25. So we just took it. As you know, as a council, there's nothing on the table saying that we're going to expand. I assure you, on my mother's grave, that these changes were not pointed at Malk. These changes were changes through notarized signatures that you guys have in front of you that 68% of the people I represent asked for. And as far as paying Malk, they have never not been paid. And we have a duty to membership to show where our money goes. And if we were ever audited as a board, we need to show where the money goes. Well, I gave Malk $1,625. Do you have a piece of paper to show that? That's the only reason we need that piece of paper, is to protect ourselves. We live in a society where we protect ourselves. I hereby ask the council see this as us trying to make Prairie Grass a better place. There's no harm to Malk whatsoever in these changes, other than the perceived ones they have. And I ask that you support these changes. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is George Lambie, 9531 West Prairie Grass Way. I am also the Secretary and Treasurer for Prairie Grass Preserve, and have been so since the inception of the association. I wanted to add a few extra points to what Doug mentioned there. One, the primary purpose for these changes is we want to change some of our additional documents. Specifically, we'd like to expand our board of directors, and we are restricted from doing so without this being modified, which allows us to, within our own association, vote among ourselves where we want to go. Right now, we are restricted by this paperwork to a three-member board and cannot change that accordingly. Regarding the conversation about the annual assessment or contribution, as it would be, I will correct one statement that was made by Mr. Dorson, is I have asked them every year to send me the invoice. They do not think about it. They do not remember. They would not even be paid if they did not, if not a follow-up and let them know in advance. I do have invoices well before the last 2 years, as we need to do to document our payments to our outside vendors and or charities. So I wanted to make sure that that was clearly understood. The other changes within this document is to allow us to again, solve the problem with the confusion that our members were having, that they would be a separate assessment. What we do is we charge our members an annual fee that is used to pay for our retention basin maintenance, our electric bills, to pay our mulch, to pay our liability insurance, etc. It is not your house pays this much, your house pays that much. As you are aware, in our last amendment, we can change from single to duplex properties as the owners of those lots would desire. So we had to take away that conversation, which has been phenomenally painful over the last several years. So there is no intention not to pay the amounts paid. If we would expand our development, which is certainly not going to happen under the Carity reign, all of these papers will be revisited at that point anyway. Any questions I could answer for council? Yes.
Just one.
Alderman Nelson.
You've been the treasurer since inception.
I have.
And every year, payment has been made.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And it is on our webpage. You can actually see the records there and look at them yourself.
Thank you.
Ms. Zingales, I'll give you a number. You can look it up. 183.41. Yep. Anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Howard April, 3772 East Denton Avenue, St. Francis, Wisconsin. I'm the vice president of the Mohawk Area Land Conservancy. I work with Mr. Dorson in protecting the green spaces in the city of Franklin through the Mohawk Area Land Conservancy. And with all due respect to the Prairie Grass Homeowners Association, we really ask that you table this motion, this proposed amendment, because as Mr. Dorson pointed out, this proposed amendment is in direct conflict with the three-party legal agreement that was signed in 2005 by the city, the Homeowners Association, and the Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy. And once again, they might think that these minor changes are cosmetic, these words changing from fee to contribution. But I want to emphasize, contribution implies that it is optional. And every single homeowner understands, or at least they should understand, that as part of living there, there's a $25 fee that goes along with that to support the green space that is there. So, in summary, this proposed amendment, it conflicts with the original agreement from 2005. And two, we're very happy to work with the Prairie Grass Homeowners Association in good faith. And I really look forward to doing that. But I really have to ask that we table this until further time, until this can be studied, to see that it's not in conflict with the original agreement from 2005. We're just asking the city to do proper due diligence in preventing a conflict from occurring in the future. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
No, that's not how it works.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Howard, you dropped something?
Hey, you dropped
something. He's got something over here. Oh. Sir?
No, I was pointing it out.
No.
Thank you.
I'm more than qualified to run a meeting. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? This is citizen comment period. Mr. Kerner, good evening.
Good evening. Dale Kerner, 8630 West Hawthorne Lane, Franklin, Wisconsin. I was here last week till quarter to one in the morning with the Planning Commission and watching Zimmerman steamroll everything he wanted and making things up that didn't make sense at all. They're talking about a decibel level of 79. I live adjacent to the land. They have an umbrella bar. They play music on Saturday night. Last Saturday night, I happened to be home. 9:30 at night, I'm going, what is that noise? My windows are shaking. I'm in my back den, which has no direct line whatsoever with the umbrella bar. I mean, it has to go through a hill in order to get through this noise. It has to go around my shed in the back to be able to get this noise. And it's playing till 10:30 at night. And I'm fortunate I don't have young kids, but I'm not going to put up with that. And if you're going to let him broadcast something at whatever decibel as it is, then I will be able to broadcast back the same thing with my speakers in my backyard. Because this is a neighborhood. This is not in the middle of a country. Neighbors are, there's a parking lot behind me. It was never designated with that. In fact, in the beginning when you guys talked about this, and probably not this council, but the ones previous, there was going to be a little soccer field in the backyard, and Mr. Zimmerman was going to let the people or the kids from Franklin use it for free or something to that effect. Well, it's anything but that right now. And we moved there for the quality of life. We didn't move there because we were looking for a stadium. We weren't looking for a downtown area. We were looking for a good quality neighbors and a good quality neighborhood. And I hope Mr. Mayor can come over some Saturday night and listen to my window shake. I talked to Mr. Nelson, which is a very pleasant man to talk to, and he said he doesn't believe that we should give a variance for him to stay past 11 o'clock at night because nobody else is allowed to do that. And again, this is a residential area, and I feel sorry for my neighbors in Greendale. I mean, they get the brunt of it, and I'm blocked by it, and I can hear it, and it's disturbing. I don't mind the construction going on. That's part of life. But what's going to happen afterwards? Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak?